Are you wanting to live a life with more clarity and happiness? I'm Tammy Hill, a licensed marriage and family therapist, certified sex educator, wife, mother, and grandmother. I am also an optimist. I strive to live my life on purpose, with purpose. I'm here to inspire people to do the things that inspire them. Live your why means to align your core values with the way you want to spend your time. Living my why includes bridging the gap of understanding sex as both a sacred marital act and as pleasurable, passionate energy that adds zest and happiness to life. I want you to embrace sexual joy without shame. Integrating your sexual nature for goodness will bring you strength, joy, and peace. Join me this season for the Live Your Why podcast, and together we can live a life full of passion and purpose. One of the things I've thought a lot about in working with couples is how similar the problems in marriage are between sex and money. So I know a money expert. I actually live with a money expert. So today I've invited my husband, Dr. Jeff Hill, to come and talk to us about sex and money. Hi, this is Tammy Hill, and this is the Live Your Why podcast. I am really honored today that I get to talk to my sweetheart, Dr. Jeff Hill. And we are going to discuss a question that I find fascinating. And that is, do you think that money makes a difference in the bedroom? I'm going to jump in and have Jeff start answering some questions about money and sex. Hello, Jeff. Tell us a little bit about you and about your background.
Well, I have a wonderful wife that I'm married to, Tammy Hill. I've been a professor for 25 years at BYU and just recently retired. I loved being a professor, and I taught thousands of students about family finance and about other relationship areas. Towards the end of my career, I decided to add to my research agenda the interface between family finance and healthy sexuality in marriage, and have found some fascinating things.
Well, I'm excited to learn those things. Tell me why you decided to do that.
Well, money consistently shows up as a major source of conflict. And some studies show that it is a leading factor of divorce. And of course, sex has always been known to be the leading source of conflict and the leading factor in divorce. So it just seemed logical to me that your bank account does affect what you do in the bedroom. So a few years ago, I decided to combine the two in this kind of revolutionary research in an article of the Journal of Financial Therapy, which was called How Do Money, Sex, and Stress Influence Marital Stability? And we found some fascinating results. The most pronounced result was that financial stressors, so the way that you deal with your financial difficulties, was what was associated with lower sexual satisfaction. And our research showed that both financial dissatisfaction and sexual dissatisfaction independently predicted marital instability, or the thoughts of getting divorced. So this got me very interested. And so as my last scholarly project before retiring, I was the lead editor of a collection of articles in the journal Frontiers of Psychology called Sex, Money, and Romantic Relationships. And of course, the person who really fostered me and was a great inspiration to me was you, and how I could see your work with healthy sexuality was blessing so many families. I wanted to integrate that with my research as well.
I'm so excited to learn about what you discovered in all of that research. But I have to ask a question first. And that is, sweetheart, I'm curious, what are you more passionate about, money or sex?
Well, personally, I am definitely more passionate about sex. However, in my research and studies, I'm equally intrigued with both and fascinated by both sex and money, and especially how they interrelate together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're more passionate about sex. That makes me really happy. So I'm going to ask, why do you think that sex and money are both the source of so much conflict in marriage?
Well, as my research showed, unresolved financial stress can put the parking brake on for satisfying sex in marriage. That stress related to finances is oversized, and it can really get in the way of the tender and free expression of love in sexual relationships. The key, I think, is to process the stress of finances. Of course, you can reduce the stress on the way in by having healthy financial behaviors. But once you're in a situation of financial stress, the couple needs to have empathetic and practical communication about money. And so that's easier said than done. And so I think that sex and money are the source of so much conflict because financial stress is not being processed by the couple.
Mm. So I'm hearing then that like the stress that you have financially and the inability to resolve financial conflict is kind of an overarching stress that kind of saps energy from the whole relationship, including the sexual relationship.
Exactly. It follows what is called emotional spillover. I mean, you have the spillover from one domain to another, and it can really get in the way of things.
So is it converse then, if there's a lot of conflict around the sexuality part in your marriage that it's unresolved and it creates stress, is that another overarching thing that bleeds out into every area?
Yeah, I would suspect, my hypotheses and research didn't test it, but I would suspect that it's reciprocal effects. That if a couple is struggling sexually, that would also set the stage for unwise and dissatisfaction with their financial affairs as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. Good point.
Well, they're two really big and important things. And what I think is interesting that I'm going to ask you if you find this. In my work, couples typically tend to hesitate to talk about sex, especially if they're not on the same page. It's very frightening and uncomfortable, and there's a lot of emotions to unpack when trying to talk about their sexual relationship. And I would suspect that that might be the same for money. Is that right?
Definitely. I would say that the processes that you just described on the sexual side are very similar when talking about money. Couples really don't do a good job of talking about either sex and money. I mean, it's a taboo topic. And so oftentimes we have ineffective communication. A lot of times, regardless of the external circumstances in finances anyway, if the couple can tackle the problems together through effective and compassionate communication, then they can buffer their sexual relationship from the financial problems. And so at the heart of dealing with all this is effective communication about sex and about money. And of course, a lot of us didn't have good role models in talking about these two topics. They're taboo topics. And oftentimes parents have not been open with their finances and with their sexuality as far as talking with their children, answering their children's questions. And so definitely improved communication would help both in the bank account and in the bedroom.
I agree. So how do you communicate about money?
I think the key is to do it. It is to do it. And a lot of times, things that are uncomfortable at first, with enough repetition, become comfortable. And so the advice that I give to couples talking about money is to do it regularly, to have a regular time when you talk about the budget. I think kind of a precursor to all of this and setting the stage in financial communication is to be able to dream together as a couple. After all, what is money? Money is just the capacity to purchase goods and services towards some goal or end. And so if a couple can get together and decide on a dream that could be funded by money that they both agree on and are on board on and will save and sacrifice for, this will be a great motivator to be on the same team when it comes to the budget, staying within the budget so that the dream can be realized.
Mm-hmm.
I remember just you, Tammy, a few years ago, you had this big, hairy, audacious dream of taking all of our married children to Hawaii and spending a week there to be together. And we both got on board with that, which was in a very expensive dream. And we both saved and sacrificed. We both decided not to get certain things and live within our budget well so that we could save that $800 a month for 2 years towards that goal that we both espouse. And I think that's having a common dream will help couples to communicate better. But the most important thing is to do it like every week at the same time. You know, you and I, every Sunday we get through and we go through all of the transactions and the budget. And because we talk about it every week, it's easier to do.
I agree. So do you think it's important that every week at the same time you also have sex?
That's just what we do. No, just...
Sorry, I couldn't resist that question.
I would say that reviewing the budget lends itself to being more specifically scheduled regularly than sex. Though it is important to have regular sex.
All right. We're going to be back in a few minutes. I want to ask Jeff a question that I am excited to hear his answer. Hi, this is Tammy Hill. I am the author of the book, Replenish, Creating Sexual Fulfillment in Marriage. I don't know if you've received a copy of my book yet. If not, you can grab one on my website, on my Instagram shop, or you can even get it on Amazon. This book was published in 2023, and it is 7 years compilation of work that I've done. It includes principles around sexuality. It includes ideas for how couples can communicate and process how they feel about sexuality. And it includes a lot of experiential activities that you can share together in the bedroom. This book is perfect for couples who are members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It is wonderful for couples who are engaged. The first two sections of the book are perfect for those who are engaged to be able to process and prepare for their sexual futures. I hope you'll take advantage of all of my work in one place. Replenish. Check it out. All right, we are back with Dr. Jeff Hill. We're talking about sex and money today. So, Jeff, in general, do couples who make more money have better sex?
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
And let me tell you why. Yes and no. The key to having better sex with your money.
You have sex with your money?
No. Oh, okay. The key factor in your financial stewardship when it relates to having good sex is that you manage your money in such the way that you don't have financial stress, so you don't bring those worries to bed. So on the face of it, if you make more money, it would seem that it's easier to not have financial stresses. However, there are plenty of people who make plenty of money but are unwise with their financial behaviors that will bring plenty of stress to bed. So I would say that if you're a wise financial steward, as I always say, if you had a lot of money, it might contribute to better sex. Now, if you don't make enough, If you don't have sufficient money for your needs, then you're going to be stressed out, and that's going to be better. On the other end, also, people who are wise with their money and have plenty of it maybe have more options for romantic getaways or other things that could lead to more satisfying sex if they choose to use the money that way.
Mm-hmm.
So how's that?
So basically what I'm hearing then is that it's not so much how much money you make, but it's more kind of your attitudes are in sync on how you utilize that money, unless your financial needs are really not being met. And then the stress from the money certainly bleeds into the bedroom.
Yep.
Is that right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Okay. I'm a lot more concise than you are.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You like quickies more, right?
Okay, Jeff. According to the research, what perspectives on finance and sex predict marital satisfaction? What are the predictors to marital satisfaction in regards to finances and sex?
Okay. Well, they're very similar. The first is the big T.
Tammy.
The big T of of Tammy, no. The big T of trust.
Mm.
Trust is the key of a healthy relationship. And so in money, spouses need to be able to trust each other with their money. And actually, when they can't trust each other with their money, that lack of trust will also spill over into a greater preponderance of distrust in their sexual relationship as well. When trust is lacking, either because of behavior or inadequate communication, conflict ensues. And this is something that's important. It could be that distrust is not rooted in facts, but just in poor communication. So you not only have to behave in a trusting manner, but you also have to communicate that trust. That's why with finances, having a budget that you review, every time you review that budget, you're communicating. And every time you're living within that budget, you are an exemplar of trust. And so I think that's important.
Certainly, trust is at the foundation of any really significant, committed sexual relationship as well. If you don't have that foundation of trust, it's very unlikely that you're going to have a sexual relationship that's going to be fulfilling for either one of you. So trust is huge.
Another one is the way that you deal with fundamental differences. That's really, really key. In finances, the overarching difference is what's called the saver-spender dilemma. The saver is less likely to spend money, and the spender is more likely to spend money. And oftentimes, that's the source of conflict. And in sex, I think an analogous difference is that of the HDS-LDS, the higher desire spouse and the lower desire spouse. You know, how do you negotiate that? I think it's a similar difference, and your ability to negotiate those differences are very important. Now, with finances, the great arbiter of the saver-spender dilemma is the budget. If you can get together and establish a budget that you both agree to live within, then when an expenditure comes up and it's within the budget, the saver can't say anything about it. It is in the budget. So it's okay to make that expenditure. Likewise, when the spender has something they want that's not in the budget, they can't do it. It's not in the budget. So having a good budget is a good way to get around the saver-spender dilemma. And I know that you are very good at helping couples to understand and deal with higher and lower desire spouses in sexual relationships.
Mm-hmm. I've never thought of it in terms of like a sexual budget, but it's interesting because it is the negotiation of, and I think what might kind of be similar to the budget financially in the bedroom is scheduling sex. Because if you go on the calendar and decide each week this day is a day that we're going to make love, then the high desire partner feels confident that it's going to happen. They can get excited. And the lower desire partner can be on board and prepare and know that this is our agreement. And so in that way, I think they could be a little similar. Okay, secrecy. People are often secretive around their sexual experiences, and they're often secretive around the way they spend their money. And secrecy, by and large, is not healthy in marriage. What tips do you have for couples to become a little bit more transparent about their finances? And I can say what to do about their sexuality.
Well, I want to say what you can do about your sexuality, because I've been the one that's have a harder time talking about sex.
Okay, you say both then.
Okay. Well, I think related to finances, it's like we've said, that you have a regular time that you're going to talk about your finances and so forth. And I think as far as sex, it's not so much a time on the calendar, but you have a regular space that you talk about your sexuality. And for me, that has been maybe in the afterglow of a sexual experience, to just kind of talk about it a little bit when both partners are feeling really good about things. And it's just very easy to talk about anything related to sex in that environment. Another thing, Tammy, and I hope you're okay with me sharing this. I know a lot of couples who have gotten your book, and the way that they talk about sex is to read a chapter of your book together and then together do your experiential exercises. It's a non-threatening way, especially for someone who is more reticent about talking about sex, to have that sexual communication. And I think when there's open communication, both about finances and about sexuality, that it bodes well for the marriage. Maybe this is a good place, as far as the research about finances, a new topic is called a financial infidelity, where there is there's secrecy in financial dealings, expenses are hidden from the spouses, secret credit cards are enacted that the spouse doesn't know about. Lots of things like that. And the research shows that financial infidelity is almost as damaging to a marriage as sexual infidelity. And so secrecy has no place in finances or in sex. Now, I do have one exception to secrecy in finances. And that is something for a married couple where there's a small amount of money that is called mad money that each spouse can use without accountability. And it's found that when there is a little bit of money that can be secretly spent, that it reduces conflict significantly.
Mm-hmm. I love the idea of mad money, that I can have X amount of dollars, you have the same amount of dollars each month, and I don't need to be accountable to you at all as how I spend it, and neither do you need to be accountable to me. I don't think there's like mad sex kind of things, are there? Like, what can we keep secret and not share about sex? I don't think anything.
Let's be creative.
I think it's really important that we don't have secrets in the bedroom, that we're able to create. It might be that we need to wait until there's a better time and place to talk about some of the things that we're thinking, or if we're wanting to experience new things or to have a little bit more pleasure or the frequency, whatever the conversation's about regarding sex. It isn't that we keep it a secret from each other. It's that we hold on to it until there's a better time and place to talk about it.
Yes, I agree.
All right. Jeff, will you tell us any strategies that you have for couples that will help them get on the same page in regards to their finances and in regards to their sexuality?
Sure. I think a key strategy is to get education together. So I think it's very helpful to educate yourself related to finances, but to educate you and your spouse together so that you can be on the same page. And likewise, educate yourself about sexuality. And of course, following you and listening to these podcasts and going to retreats and things together would be a wonderful way to educate yourself related to finances and sexuality. Another thing is with finances is to actually put a category in your budget that's called romance. This is money. Some people call it date night. I like to be a little bit more direct and call it romance. You might even call it sex. You could put sex as a category in your budget. But that would be where every month you put away money that could be used to enhance your sexual relationship. And as a father and a husband who has been with 12 children over the years, I think the single suggestion I give to couples is to get away from the kids. And if you have your romance budget, you put money away, use that money to get away. And I think we've both found that the ideal length of time for those getaways is at least 2 nights, because the first night you're just exhausted, so you might sleep for 12 hours, and then you have a day and then another night that you can really enhance your sexual relationship.
I agree.
And of course, you can combine the education and the romance by doing something like a making love retreat.
Yeah, so fun. You are just a wealth of knowledge, and I always enjoy visiting with you. Is there any little tidbit of information that you feel like you just missed and have to share?
Not really. I would just say that, bottom line, we claim joy in this life when we use the gifts and talents that God has given us to bless our marriages, our families, and the rest of God's children. And so I would just suggest that you look inward and see, what are the gifts and talents that I have that could bless our financial stewardship in our family? What are the gifts and talents that I have that could bless our sexual stewardship in our marriage? And recognize that when you bless your financial stewardship, you will be blessing your sexual stewardship. And when you bless your sexual stewardship, you will be blessing your financial stewardship. And so I guess I would just share that bottom line interaction between finances and sexuality.
Yeah, I love that. I love the word stewardship, that this is a stewardship, and we share this together. We take on this as partners, equal partners, and there's a responsibility within this dynamic that we are responsible for one another's growth and ability to expand. So I love that word, stewardship. So Jeff, I always end each podcast by having the guests share a little bit about their why. I would love to hear you. What is your why?
Well, I'm married to you, so I've thought about this a lot, and I think I have a concise why.
Wow.
My concise why is to give the gifts and talents that God has given me to facilitate joy in families, beginning with my own. So that is my why. And an overarching thing that I guess another thing that I wish I had said more about, I would just add to that why, as an equal partner with my spouse. Because in all of these areas, the ability for a husband and wife to be equally yoked and to have equal access to financial resources and sexual resources is very important.
It sure is. Tell us how we can find you and get a hold of you. I know how to get a hold of you. Tell my followers how to get a hold of you.
Okay. I have an Instagram account at Joyfully Within Your Means, all one word, Joyfully Within Your Means, and would love to see you there.
It's a great account, too. There's little tidbits of information every day that comes up, and it is perfectly helpful information in the economy that we're in right in the moment. And I think I wish I had had information like that when I was younger to kind of learn from and have it be so practical. I like your Instagram account a lot.
And I love you a lot.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for being with us.
All right. Bye-bye.